Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Makula. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and ministry as they share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. This episode, we welcome Major Gail Aho, the Midland Division's Urban Ministries Secretary. Today, she shares from her wealth of experience and her God-given passion to teach us more about a ministry that can often be misunderstood. Thanks again for listening. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast, Major Gail Aho.
Yes, that's me.
So glad you're here. And this is fun because we are face-to-face having a conversation rather than recording through a computer or other devices.
Yes, this is much better.
Yes. So you are an officer in the Salvation Army.
I am.
You've been a Corps officer.
Yep.
You've been on divisional staff.
Yes.
Before and now again. You've been the Territorial Youth Secretary.
Yes, best job ever.
Ooh. And then you've also been on staff at CFOT, College for Officers Training.
Mm-hmm. And A couple of times.
A couple times?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And now you are the Urban Ministries Secretary for the Midland Division.
Yes.
And that is the only, there's only one of those in our territory at this present time, correct?
I think in the country.
In the country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So those are the formal things about you. But let's hear more about who is, in your words, Gail Aho.
Yeah. So identity is just one of those crazy things, right?
That is the question that everyone gets like, oh, who am I?
Right? Oh, you could really stumble around on that. I remember teaching a class on this at training college, so I always go back to that. So first, I am a believer. I love Jesus. I often find myself in leading Bible study where I'm talking about something that he's done or something that God, and it just still sends me through the roof with admiration, right? Which, after all these years, you would think I would get past the thrill of seeing what he does in Scripture, but nope. Mm-mm. I find that there's always something cool there. So I love him very much, and I try to follow what I should be doing in life. So that's me. I have four great children and five grandsons, and my mom is still living, so that's cool. I live in St. Louis, and I am married to Phil Aho, so there I am.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That's true.
Can you give our listeners like a rundown? I kind of gave an, you know, I pointed out the different roles you've had. Can you give us a rundown of the different appointments you've had?
So we've been in Gary, Indiana. We started off at the training college when Phil and I got married. I was an officer a year before we got married, so I was in Hancock, Michigan. So we'll start right there.
Mm.
Hancock, Michigan, and then—
Is that UP?
I feel like I should know that.
It is in the UP. It's up in the, you know, that little island thing.
Yeah.
And then we were stationed at the school for a year, and then we went to Gary, Indiana, where I had my first two children. And then we went to Chicago Temple Corps. We were there for 8 years. Eight incredible years where I learned so very much from the Corps people. They were just very great. I love that appointment.
That's a nice long appointment.
Yeah.
8 years.
Yeah. It was great. It was, oh, man, so many stories and so many good experiences. And then we went to be DYSs in Omaha. We were there 2 years. Camp flooded both years. Yes.
Wow.
And then we came to Chicago as the DYSs. And then we went to Detroit Temple Corps.
I remember that.
Yes. Yeah, that was quite the experience. And then we came back to the training college. We were there 5 years, I think. And then TYS here in Chicago, and then Midland Division. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good summary.
Thanks.
So, I've been talking about urban ministry a lot lately and in different circles, and that's really your area of expertise. You're not just the urban ministry secretary of Midland, you know, just as a random appointment. Like, that's
our passion, our desire, our ministry has been that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've made that, you've expressed that. The territories
blessed us with it.
Yeah, yes. They've acknowledged it, and they've affirmed it by honoring you guys and putting you in a position where you could really live out your passion and calling. Mm-hmm. So knowing your expertise, knowing where you're at right now, and you can look back and see, like, my question is, what are, like, the bullet points of effective urban ministry?
I think having love that's got to be there, love for all people. It's got to be extremely high in a person's heart. Mm-hmm. I also think having a great sense of humor and being able to roll with whatever's happening, just roll with it. I think it's extremely important to put aside judgment. Mm-hmm. There's only one judge, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not us, which is good. So I think that's important. And I know that this has been coming up over and over again, but this idea of being a faithful presence is really important. For Phil and I, our appointments in the cities, we did not live near the appointment. In Chicago, we wanted to do that really. We wanted to do that much. But that was back in the day when that it just wasn't going to happen, which is interesting because years before you could.
Right.
Yeah, everybody lived on their appointment.
Right.
There was none of this living away from your appointment. That was the tradition, was you lived in at your core. You had the quarters
above. Same building
above.
Next door, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a new thing, and the administration at the time would not allow for us to move back to the city. So we made the best of it, right? You do what you need to do, and we spent a lot of time on the road, driving back and forth. But yeah, so faithful presence can be accomplished in a few different ways. But you'd need to guard your heart against living above place, which these are not my terms. Mm-hmm. All of this comes out of a book called The New Commons, which I'm reading and in preparing for this weekend and also for the practicum in the fall. But that idea that we don't know really what's happening in a community, and it's easy for us to participate in life the same way a lot of people do, where we're just not aware of people and their struggles. Mm-hmm. So faithful presence allows for you to become more aware because you're living right there, so you know what people are going through. So that's why it's so important to be in proximity.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, then you have to work harder. So that's what we've discovered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just to recap, God's love, a sense of humor, non-judgmental, and faithful presence / proximity.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So in those conversations that I've been having And you've touched on, you know, where you guys are. There's quarters, there's housing right around St. Louis Temple. And there's a strategic reason behind that. And I would say it's a lot to do with the faithful presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to get an appointment, or, you know, or maybe if you were to get an appointment at our urban core, or even that's where your heart is and you're an officer, what do you do about maybe getting placed in one of those positions? Is there anything you can do?
Yes, you can. So a few years ago, added into the policy, I think it's in the policy book, it is allowable for officers to live in cities, to live near their appointments. Again, now this specifically applies to cities, I think, because there are some towns where, you know, their towns are small enough that really you're living in proximity.
Sure.
So I'm not talking about that kind of thing, but rather areas where people drive for a very long time to get home and back to the core. When they gave me this appointment of urban ministry secretary, I was living in Baldwin, Missouri, which is a long drive. And we were getting started on trying to discover what is the urban mission center going to look like? What does it mean? And as a result, I said to my boss at the time, Colonel Neal, I said, you know, it doesn't make much sense for the urban mission secretary to live in Baldwin, Missouri. Can I look at living near the core, Temple, where all of this was going to happen? We already had the houses there. They had been transitional houses that had sat empty for a while. And then Captain Diaz had started getting young adults to live there. And so all of that was starting and actually had been going on for a couple of years. And then they brought me in. So Colonel said, yeah, go ahead, go look. And so with that permission, I went to... I tell people, I think I saw all the houses in Benton Park West.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really true, but it felt like it because mm-hmm. we looked at so many houses. And I found a few that I really liked and I thought would work. But when I sent them in, the age of the house, and St. Louis is a very old town,
mm-hmm.
so finding something that met that requirement
mm-hmm.
Was becoming impossible. So... they said to me, well, why don't you just rent? And I thought, I don't want to rent. So that's a possibility. That's mm-hmm. one way to address it. If the Salvation Army can't find something to move you into, then renting is an option, I think, a viable option, if that's because you don't have to mow the grass. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. But we decided instead to upgrade one of the houses, one of the transitional houses. So Colonel let me do that, and that's what we did. We kept the cost down because I didn't want to, you know, be extravagant or
right.
anything. And it's a really cute place. You'll have to come by and see it.
I have.
Okay,
and I've
good.
Slept in your spare
oh,
bedroom.
Oh, you've been here. That's right. That's right. You came to surprise Sarah.
Yeah.
I remember now. I remember. Yes.
It
is a cool house,
it's
right?
It's very cool. And it's
yeah.
right by the core. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's to me, a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. We've been talking about that. Like, I walk to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I go there on Sunday mornings. Because I determined this year especially that I would do Bible teaching on Sunday mornings for the young adults, and then we all walk together mm-hmm. over to the core. So
yeah.
actually, I end up being kind of the last one, but yeah, we get there.
It works.
It does.
Yeah. Can you share about what is the Urban Mission Center and what is Temple Housing? How do they work together? How are they different? How does it work?
Mm-hmm. So the Urban Mission Center, I'm responsible for the ministry that goes on at Benton Park West neighborhood, which is where Temple House is. And I'm responsible for Ferguson and the work that we started there a couple of years ago. So those are like the two responsibilities of an urban ministry secretary at this point. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I believe what I'm doing should expand into St. Louis more, or even into more city, different cities. But for now, it is what it is. And Temple House is a part of what we do in Benton Park West. It's connected with Temple Core. Temple House is what we call our young adult ministry that we do, where we can have up to 8 apprentices. We currently have 6, and that's, we call it Temple House. That was a term that I believe Captain Steve gave to that idea, mm-hmm. and we just kept it. We didn't want to not have it. So.
Yeah. Could you see this happening, this kind of model, in, say, Detroit or Kansas City or Indianapolis or you name it? There's a lot of major cities in the Central Territory.
So this has been asked to us before, and I left out a part. I apologize. Mm-hmm. For the Urban Mission Center, Benton Park West, we also are responsible for practicums. We work together with CESEP and all of that. So you get credit when you come to our practicums. And we also do different kinds of trainings and things like that. So that's also another aspect of the work that we do out of Benton Park West. So that aspect of the Urban Mission Center, at this point, I would prefer that it not be in all the cities of America, mm-hmm. or because I like having that opportunity to bring people in and do the training and all of the forming and all of that kind of thing. In my conversation recently, what I suggested was that what we do is we minister to officers, and I want to expand that to soldiers, mm-hmm. who are doing ministry. So it's kind of an inward ministry. Other urban centers could be more of an outward reach of social justice and how to accomplish social justice, though we work on that as well in Temple House. But I could see Temple House anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we had this conversation on the way up this morning, in that it could be like outposts all over the place, but very small and very intentional in neighborhoods. And that I could see all over, especially in cities, because that's the more acceptable spiritual formation practice in our world, rather than having huge buildings and, you know, all the things that we kind of get trapped in. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. In fact, I think they're a great coming together place on a Sunday morning, but for that everyday ministry, you don't really need a whole lot of that. You know, how many buildings do we have that have spaces that sit empty, mm-hmm. Because it's a dedicated space for chapel or, you know, those kinds of things. So I don't know. But yes, I could see that.
So when you say the practicum provides training, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. So we do two different, well, we hope to. We have the Urban Ministries practicum that we do through Olivet that we talk about the urban millennium, how more people live in cities than ever before in our human T. It's just the way forward. It will not change. More and more people will move to the city. It's just the way it is. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe in 1,000 years that'll be different. But for now, that's the way forward. It's where more opportunity is. It's where, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. So we talk about urban millennium, and as it impacts ministry in a world where everything changes so quickly, we just cannot keep up with how quick things change. And in ministry, it used to be more of a pastor, sheep, all that kind of jazz, you know, where your life is, you got that picture in your head of taking life simple and blah, blah, blah. It just is not that way anymore. So as people who are doing ministry, you've got to know what to look for and how to approach city ministry. It's very different than herding sheep. So we discuss what that is and how to practice missional approach. Yeah, so that's what we do, that one. In the fall, we hope to add another practicum on missional leadership, because as we were teaching the practicums, we discovered that we would talk about missional leadership, but it was so quick that it requires more time to figure out, well, what's my part? How do I do this as the leader, as the Corps officer, as a Corps Sergeant Major? What is my part now in this new world, especially in cities? How do we do this?
That reminds me of another question I had for you.
Okay.
About your leadership, and can you describe your leadership style? And maybe has it changed over the years?
So there are aspects that have changed over the years. I've gotten a little wiser, I hope. Oh, gosh. I say that now. I just know people are going to go, oh, no, you haven't. So I hope there's that aspect of leadership. But I was sharing with Sarah and Adina. Sorry that I keep talking about this on the trip up today, that I think I'm more of an improv leader. I like the idea of seeing what's before me and how to roll with it. I'm not a good I guess that's it. That's all. I'm just that kind of person. I like to.
So in one setting, you might depending on the scenario, you might be a leader that. Is one of my favorite phrases is I learned at a youth specialties was like a spotlight leadership. You and I can see you like that pretty across the board of pushing other leaders into the role of leader instead of stepping forward and saying this is my thing. You're pushing them and saying this is like our thing. This is your thing. This is your moment God's calling you to. So some moments like that or some moments of it's all circumstantial mm-hmm. in a sense. That's what I'm hearing from you. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a good description. I like that description. I think so my leadership at Ferguson and Urban Mission Center is a lot like that where I'm pushing. But then there are other times when I'm at headquarters where I have to be the rep. I have to be the person who – kind of navigates for everybody through the Salvation Army institution. Like, how do we do this? These two new things within an institution that likes new things but doesn't always know what to do with it, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like that also requires this idea of improv because you just can't do it thinking you've got this list of things or bullet points, right? And this is how it goes, because it often is a surprise on how somebody reacts to it or how you can make sense of something that doesn't have all the same language. It's like that, yeah.
So going swinging back around to the temple housing and the apprentices and let's take a moment and have a more like direct commercial for that. For any listeners that's like, I want to know what that is. Like, because I've seen on Instagram and we were chatting before this about recruiting people. What are they being recruited for? What does their day-to-day life look like as a now resident of this neighborhood in St. Louis, Benton Park West, right? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
What is this?
Yeah,
that they're being recruited for.
Sure. So it's young adults. We don't take anybody younger or older than the young adult age. We cut that off at 29. There have been a few exceptions, but we've discovered that in group living, it's easier to kind of keep that narrow age range. They live in community together. Now, they don't all live in the same house. That's always what people think is like they're all in the same house. No, they're not. The girls live in one. Mm-hmm. The guys live in a couple of – depends on, you know, who's there for that year. They're only with us for a year. Now, I say all of this as if we've done this for years. This is our first year where everybody's an apprentice. Before this, we had a few apprentices. When Steve was doing it, there was interns –
they were called dwellers once,
yeah, at one time it was dwellers, yes. That was when we had people who lived there going to school or working part-time. Mm-hmm. And they were not apprentices or interns. They were not receiving any kind of stipend. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to participate. And what we discovered was we were creating two different communities. The dwellers couldn't often get together with the apprentices because their schedules were crazy. They would make a determination to be at the core on youth night, but that was kind of like the only time we saw them together as a whole group. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. So we decided, okay, no, let's rethink this. So this year we went to all apprentices, and every apprentice gets a stipend per month, and they live with us for a year. And what we do is we walk with them through spiritual formation, through leadership formation, and we give them opportunities to practice living in community, practice faithful presence, practice these things that we talk about in the practicums, but we're experimenting and seeing what this looks like. And then at the end of their year, they will have the skill to go home, to go to whatever community they're being called to start their own outpost or temple house. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel confident, they're ready to go, and they start Salvation Army ministry wherever they're at.
And they are all these apprentices are not there. Some Salvationists, some non-Salvationists. Is that right?
That's correct. And what's very fun about that is having a good mix, having both, because we have young people who have never heard of the Salvation Army who give us a perspective that we had never thought about. I just love it. And they're very surprised by what they discover that the Salvation Army does. It's like a breath of fresh air, actually, because you know how we get as Salvation Army people. We think that everything we do is less than best, or, you know, we get these ideas, or we think we're so old-fashioned, and then we discover, no, we're not. I'm going to quote one of them. He said, and what I find so fun about this is I'm doing the spiritual Sabbath retreat for the cadets this weekend, and we're talking about all these things, so this kind of gives me a chance to say it out loud.
Yeah, do a test run.
Right, exactly. So I apologize if this is more than you asked for. But he said, this is a young man who had never heard about the Salvation Army ever. I don't even think he ever saw people ringing bells at the stores. He might have saw the buckets. But anyway, he said that he was so surprised to find how progressive the Salvation Army was. And I thought, progressive, really? That's not a term I would have ever used for us. And he said, yeah, until you get to the core on Sunday morning. And then it's like you went back 50 years. It's so weird to me, he said. And that got me on this journey to figure out how do we practice Salvation Army on Sunday morning that brings honor to God and will also reveal who we are as a progressive army. Because, I understand fully what he says. It's I think the same thing. I had never said it that well, but anyway, I've been working on that to try to figure out what that could look like.
That is refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What else we got? Running out of time. Okay, the last thing. Mm-hmm. Two things.
Okay.
And I've been asking most of our guests, I think, this in the last, since January. Where do you want to see the Salvation Army in 10 years?
I would like to see us move back to the cities. We've sold a lot of property. We've closed a lot of corps in the cities, which I think was a mistake. And I would like us to open those back up. They don't have to look the same. They don't have to be, I think if we did outpost ministry all over the cities of the Central Territory, we could avoid some of those pitfalls that we have when we do typical, I guess, or I don't even know what to call it, but when we do Salvation Army at its largest, when we try to have something so big that we can't, I'm not talking about that, but I think we need to return to the cities. And I would like to push a little more on what Pathway of Hope has helped us discover is that it's a reminder that people need more than just an emergency help, right? We, in a sense, move into people's lives through Pathway of Hope. We become a faithful presence for them, and we walk with them through these things. But we're discovering, and it wasn't a surprise to any of us, but we're discovering that there are systematic things that our country has produced that keep people in these bad places. Mm-hmm. And as a social justice movement, mm-hmm. we need to address those things. So I would like to see us in 10 years be that voice at the table that says, no, you cannot do it that way because this impacts our families in these great ways. Now, we do this a little bit. I hear people when they go visit the senators or whatever each year, they go forward and they say these things. But I would like to have that voice every week at the table. I want us to see our country change so that all people experience full and abundant life, not just people who think they deserve it, mm-hmm. right? I think all of us feel that way, like we all deserve full and abundant life. The scripture talks about it, mm-hmm. that's for all. But we have a system in our country that keeps some people down, and I want to change that. And I want the Army, not me, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I represent the Salvation Army who can. So that's what I would like.
Maybe you can just answer two of these instead of all three. I wanted to ask you about the SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and maybe grab two of those and say what are the Salvation Army's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? Or if you could say them all real fast, if you got that, go for it.
Sure. So what I would say is that the Salvation Army, because we are this strange branch of the body of Christ or of the vine, mm-hmm. we're this strange branch, that is our strength, that is our weakness, mm-hmm. that is our opportunity. And that is also our threat. So, yeah, I love the fact that we are this strange branch. But we need to celebrate that, not be embarrassed by it. And I think that we, over the last 20, 30 years, have become embarrassed. Mm. And that should not be. We should love that.
Yeah.
But that comes from the improv person, right? I'm not the business person or there. All of that stuff. But yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right.
Thanks, Major Gail Aho, for teaching and enlightening our listeners so that they can be prepared and equipped for tomorrow or later today. Whatever.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major Gail, for sharing from your heart and for shining a light on a ministry that is important to the body of believers and to the kingdom of God. Listeners, we hope you leave today feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. See you next time.